We're looking at seatbelt use here in Wisconsin on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The good news is that 9 out of 10 Wisconsin drivers wear a seatbelt, but the bad news, some drivers still don't buckle up. Seatbelt use has hovered around 89% for the last couple years. What questions do you have about driver safety? Do you always wear a seatbelt when driving or when you're a passenger? Do you ever feel it's okay not to wear a seatbelt? Have you ever been ticketed for not wearing a seatbelt? Join in, 800-642-1234. Dave Pabst is director of the Bureau of Transportation Safety at the State Department of Transportation. Dave, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Well, take us back a decade ago. Wisconsin wanted to improve seatbelt use, so the state passed this law allowing officers to solely stop drivers for not wearing seatbelts. How low were we at a decade ago?
Well, in 2009, our seatbelt use rate was at 74%. So we had quite an improvement over the last 10 years.
And what does seatbelt use look like with today's numbers, the current numbers?
Well, the current number, we have preliminary data from an observational survey that shows we're at 90.2%. So we've pushed through the 90% for the first time in our history.
Do you know how Wisconsin stacks up across the country? Do we do as well as our neighbors?
Well, right now we're a little better than the national average. National average is around 89%. But our neighboring states like Michigan and Minnesota, they're in the mid-90s. So we have a little work to do to catch up to our neighbors.
How do you gather this data? How does our state keep track of seatbelt use?
Well, we hire the University of Wisconsin Whitewater to do seatbelt surveys for us, and they have a very strict protocol on how they do it. They have approved locations. NHTSA goes through our plan on how we do it, and then we have people with iPads out there actually taking surveys, and you know, they see a vehicle and they see if they're wearing the seatbelts or not, and they record on the iPad in real time what kind of seatbelt use they're seeing. So if the car has four people in it and they've got four seatbelts on, boom, 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 the four positions, you've got your survey for that particular vehicle. And they just do that so that you have hundreds of vehicles that have been checked with a team, a pretty large team that actually goes out throughout the state and checks for seatbelt use.
Oh, and so they're basically at intersections or places where a vehicle is stopped so they can get a good look inside the car?
That's correct. So they're strategically located to be able to observe the seatbelt use.
We're talking about seatbelt use here in Wisconsin with Dave Pabst. He's director of the Bureau of Transportation Safety at the State Department of Transportation. You can join in, 800-642-1234. What do you see in your family or your circle of friends? How do people feel about seatbelts? What do you think about seatbelts in school buses or in farm equipment? Should people be wearing them in those situations? Call in. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Danny now in Greenfield. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
Hi there, Danny. Can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, what would you like to add about seatbelts?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention one thing that changed my seatbelt habits was recently, I got a car that would beep incessantly until you put your seatbelt on. Same with the passenger seat. So now I almost always wear a seatbelt every single time I get in the car, whereas up until that, I didn't used to do that.
Danny, thanks for the call. Dave Pabst, vehicles have become a lot more insistent that the drivers and passengers wear seatbelts with technology.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing because they do remind us, and like he said, it's incessant, and you have to wear your seatbelt. My car does the same thing, and it's like you have to wear your seatbelt. You just have to.
So why was there a push a decade ago to improve seatbelt use? Did the state see a rash of deadly crashes or one crash that hit people, you know, really hard?
Not necessarily. It's just the national push for seatbelt use. You know, when I started my career in law enforcement back in 1986, seatbelt use rate was at 26%. And we came up with a, you know, in 1988, I think, or so, is when they enacted a seatbelt use law. It was secondary enforcement, and it bumped up to 55%. It's just been growing ever since. And, of course, when we went to primary enforcement, it gave us a really nice push. So it's just so important to wear your seatbelt. You know, without the seatbelt, the rest of the safety and the equipment in the vehicle doesn't do any good. So you can have a 2019 X, Y, or Z vehicle that has every bell and whistle for safety, including, you know, airbags for every position, and it won't be effective if you're not wearing your seatbelt.
Let's bring in Jack now, joining us from Manitowoc. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
What is your what's your story with seatbelts?
Well, I guess my first comment is that I've worn seatbelts regularly almost all the time. I'll occasionally not wear it if I'm just driving the car for a few blocks to get it warmed up before I park it back in the parking lot or something, which I know I shouldn't do. But I try to teach our grandkids to wear seatbelts, so I need to wear them all the time. But a few years ago, I was involved in an accident where a car facing my direction abruptly turned in front of me, and the roads were slick. I ended up hitting them head on, and I ended up with a bruised chest. Now, I'm sure I would have been injured more if I hadn't had my seatbelt on and the airbags in the car. But I'm curious whether that's something that you see often, people get an injured chest because of it, or if it was more due to my position, how I was seated in the car.
Jack, thanks for the call. Dave Pabst, are there injuries related to seatbelt use?
Sure there are, because the seatbelt is designed to spread the energy and the force of the crash across stronger parts of your body so that you don't end up, you know, getting injured more severely. Now, if Jack hadn't been wearing his seatbelt, his airbag did go off, but he would have hit that airbag really hard and it would overcome any kind of pressure that's there. And in fact, he would have had more injuries. So, yes, that's sometimes how they prove post-mortem if a person is wearing a seatbelt or not, is because of the injuries caused by the strap. And I'd rather have a few bruises than being dead or having broken bones.
Dave, what are some common reasons why people don't wear seatbelts?
That's a really good question. I don't quite understand. I grew up in a household where we were wearing seatbelts in the 60s, and my dad was a police officer and then worked for the DMV. So obviously that was kind of our culture within our family. We always wore our seatbelt. And what people do now, I mean, generally we have a problem with pickup truck drivers and young males who are, you know, 18 to 34 years old, and they tend to have a invincibility thought about their lives, and, you know, nothing's going to happen to me. So how we appeal to them is we try to say, well, you really love your pickup truck, let's protect your truck. And the only way you can protect your truck is if you maintain control of it. And during evasive maneuvers or a potential crash, the way to control it is to be belted in.
Can the state do anything to address this slice of drivers, these pickup truck drivers, as you've identified?
Yeah, that's really what we're looking at. How can we get to that attitude and change that culture? Because a lot of what, you know, people in trucks, what they don't realize is trucks are more prone to roll over than other vehicles. And so not wearing your seatbelt really increases your risk of being injured in a crash. And so the odds of surviving a crash in a pickup truck increased by 80% if you just wear your seatbelt. And so how do you get that message out? And so what we're looking here at the state of Wisconsin is finding some targeted messaging and using the modern messages or means of communication with social messaging to try to get particular groups of people to buckle up. And if that's a specific ad campaign that appeals to their senses, that's what we have to do.
Let's bring in Chessie now in Madison with thoughts on this. Hi, Chessie.
Hi. Recently, a coworker and I were discussing, because we got in the back seat and he didn't buckle up, and he's like, I don't think it's a law to buckle up in the back seat. And I, based on Googling, it seemed like that was true, and I was just shocked. So I was wondering if you could confirm either way the back seat seatbelt rules.
Chessie, thanks. Dave, what happens in the back seat?
Back seat, we've changed our motto now. So, you know, buckle up every seat every time, because there is this misconception that you don't have to wear a seatbelt in the back seat. You're more likely to get hurt and or hurt somebody else in the vehicle because you are a projectile if you're not wearing your seatbelt in the rear seat. So it is a law in Wisconsin that every position has to have a seatbelt, a restraint system on. And the only exception to that is if you are in a taxi. But I would encourage anybody that's riding any form of public transportation where there is seatbelts available that you do use it, because it protects you and the driver or other occupants of the vehicle. So she's right. You have to wear your seatbelt in the back seat.
Let's go to Jimmy in Valley Junction now. Hi, Jimmy.
Morning. Morning. I was just wondering, I believe in seatbelt wear, and I try to do it all the time, but why did the motorcycle helmet law get changed so they don't have to wear helmets? It would seem to me, if it's a public safety question, they should be wearing helmets. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Jimmy, thanks. He's translating seatbelts there into motorcycles and wearing helmets.
Well, I really wish we could have the seatbelt helmet back, you know, the law back, but it's gone, and they have a strong position. It's just the will of the people. I'm sure that if they realize that wearing a helmet will save a lot of lives and motorcycles, it would, you know, people might rethink it. But it's a fairly, you know, it's an issue because motorcycles are a vulnerable road user, and when they crash, they don't have the protections you have with having that metal cocoon around you. So a helmet, gloves, heavy leather clothing such as jackets and leather pants, it's just so important for a motorcyclist to use all the gear all the time to help them survive a mishap.
Talking about seatbelt use in Wisconsin with Dave Pabst. He's the Bureau of Transportation Safety Director at the state DOT. We'll be back to this conversation in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about seatbelt use in Wisconsin and what state officials hope to do now that there's 90% compliance. 9 out of 10 drivers buckle up. Do you? What do you see in your own family, your friends? How do people feel about seatbelts? What questions do you have about driver safety? Join in, 800-642-1234. Dave Pabst is Director of the Bureau of Transportation Safety at the State Department of Transportation. Let's go back to the phones now. Chris is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I have two of interest to me. I was riding as a passenger in the back seat of a car. I did not have my seatbelt on, and we were rear-ended by a dump truck, and the car was wrapped totally around a telephone pole. And if I had been seatbelted in, I would have been wrapped around that telephone pole as well, because the spot where I was sitting is the spot that the telephone pole now occupied, and I ended up sitting on the lap of the person on the far side of the car. So at that point, I would have died if I'd had it on. However, I do have a dear friend who climbed out from the back front seat of the car where everybody was seatbelted, and she climbed into the back to take care of a baby that she refused to take out of the car seat and hand to the mother in the front. She herself, just as she climbed to the back seat, they were hit by a drunk driver, and she was ejected through the front windscreen. She survived, and luckily the baby, which had been refused to be taken out of the car seat, also survived.
Wow.
And everybody else too.
Those are harrowing stories, Chris. Dave, what do you make of them?
Well, it's amazing, and I'm so glad Chris is here with us to share that story, because, you know, stories like that are out there, and you know, there are what we'll call anomalies in seatbelt use, and I would say that that's one chance in a million that this happened, and thank goodness it worked out for Chris. But the data certainly shows that rear seatbelt use is really important. In the rear seat, you don't have the same protections as you do in the front seat. You don't have all the airbags that you have in the front. And you become a missile, like I said earlier, if you're not buckled in. Now, that was kind of a fluke crash that she experienced with a dump truck in a pole or a tree. And thank goodness she survived it. But for the most part, it's just so dangerous not to wear your seatbelt in the rear. You just need to wear it because chances are it will save your life.
Patrick in Richland Center couldn't stay with us, but he wants to know if it's required to wear seatbelts for ATVs. What are the rules with ATVs?
Well, that's more of a question for the DNR. It's kind of out of my wheelhouse, but okay. I would think if any safety equipment is on a vehicle of any type, that it's to your advantage to wear it. So I'm not sure about the laws when you're operating them on the highway, but certainly the smart thing to do is always wear seatbelts if it's so equipped.
Let's bring in Sarah now in Madison. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning.
I recently have seen a number of articles about how crash test dummies are modeled after the male skeletal frame, usually about 5'10", 160, and that car seat design and seatbelt design has been developed with those crash tests and men's frames in mind. And I'm wondering, as someone who's always uncomfortable in my car, if you guys have read any research about how car companies are thinking about adapting seats and seat belts for different body types and for women as well as men.
Sarah, thanks for that. You know, she mentioned 5'10", 160, Dave, and not all people are that structure.
You're right. And, you know, they try to make it so one size fits all. And I'm not aware of any studies, not that they aren't out there, but personally, I'm not aware of any studies for the differences in the way we're built. But I do know one of the questions that comes up often is, well, I'm pregnant. Should I be wearing my seatbelt? And, of course, the answer is you're always supposed to wear your seatbelt. You got to protect two lives here. And it's just so important to wear it properly. So it's coming across your chest and then way down low across your hips where that force can be transferred during a crash so you don't injure the baby and you protect the person wearing it. So unfortunately, I don't know of any studies right now in that area.
We got an email from Chase who says, you know, a lot of kids are back to school this week and we're wondering if seatbelts are required as they're required for family cars. Why not be required for school buses?
Right. Well, school buses are a really unique vehicle. They are designed for safety from the ground up. They have a heavy steel roll cage that runs the entire length. Every few, you know, width of the window is another roll bar of steel. They're designed with what's called compartmentalization. So you're sitting in the seat, and if you're involved in a crash, your body will go forward, but the seat back in front of you is designed to crush and move forward and absorb that energy. Now, with the cameras that they mount in buses now, we are starting to see how during other style of crashes, you know, the most common crash is a front end or a rear end crash in a school bus. So those are very well protecting the children during those crashes. But it's when the bus rolls over that we do see the need for seat belts. And I know the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards, they're working on changing the law so that school buses are able to be equipped with seat belts. And they're kind of leaving it up to the states to determine what's right for each state.
Talking with Dave Papps, Director of the Bureau of Transportation Safety at the State Department of Transportation. Let's bring in Tammy now in Onalaska with the question. Hi, Tammy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question regarding, I know a lot of families with a large number of kids and vehicles are very expensive now. What's the proper mode when you have more people than the car is quote unquote designed for?
Tammy, thanks. Dave, what about the number of passengers in a vehicle when you exceed the number of seats?
Well, then you're exceeding the safety ability of the vehicle, but there's no law prohibiting it. So my advice is always to put the most vulnerable people secured properly. But then you have to make this decision. Well, who is the one that's going to get hurt when we crash? And also having the loose bodies out there in there, they can kill people that are properly restrained. So my advice is to, you know, take another vehicle, somehow find more appropriate transportation. It's just so dangerous. It's not illegal. So if you have six places in your vehicle, but you've got seven people in there, as long as this equipment that is there is being used, and the younger children that are required by law to be buckled in and in car seats are in car seats, you're fine.
Well, the state's latest seatbelt figures were announced in Wisconsin Dells recently at the Governor's Conference on Highway Safety. You were there. What were some of your takeaways from the Governor's Conference?
Well, I think we're it's an exciting time in Wisconsin because we have a governor who supports highway safety, and it's a great time for us to try to move this needle forward, especially in seatbelt use and speeding and OWI and drug driving. And our takeaway is that Wisconsin is in a good position to improve, and we have to just double down on what works and then change some of the tactics that we're using to get that message across to those, you know, young male drivers in their pickup trucks that they need to wear their seatbelts.
How much of a problem is texting and driving these days?
Well, it's a serious problem because you can look for yourself when you're driving, and if you stop at a stop sign or even just going down the road, you see people on their phones all the time. It's a serious problem. You know, we're doing a really good job with drunk driving, but now we've got to deal with distracted driving. And the problem with distraction is when you're using your phone, whether you're talking on the phone, texting illegally, or doing whatever on it, as soon as you put it down, you're still distracted cognitively for 21 to 23 seconds. It takes time to switch from one task to another. So it's dangerous for you to sit at a stoplight, look at your phone, because now you're getting out of the awareness around you, and it's just really dangerous. And you don't get it fully back until after 20-some seconds.
Well, Dave, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dave Pabst is director of the Bureau of Transportation Safety at the State Department of Transportation. Just ahead, we take an in-depth look at college affordability and access to financial aid with a researcher who studies education costs. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.